I just wanted to share three basic ideas about cybernetics and aesthetics, and cybernetics of creativity, and maybe a little bit on the hedonics of novelty and complexity. I teach neuropsychology of music at Harvard, but I come from the sciences. I'm an auditory neuroscience scientist who worked on the neural coding of pitch. So I encounter the two worlds of art and science in my teaching. The first idea is that I think of art as a sort of experiential engineering for purposive systems, and I'll try to unpack that. Classical cybernetics involved these goal-directed, basically robotic devices, as well as analog systems, self-organizing systems, and adaptive systems. And we've seen this picture a number of times. We're all goal-directed, purposive, teleological percept action systems, as Rosenblith and Wiener and Bigelow pointed out in the 40s. The basic functional organization of animals involves, at simplest level of description, percept action loops, cycles in which animals act on the world. They sense their surrounds and act contingent on what they sense. But embedded in these systems are other systems that implement goal-directed behavior, that steer the behavior of the organism so that it maintains its organization, its homeostasis, and continues to function such that it can reproduce. And one can find areas in the brain, structures in the brain, sets of circuits in the brain that implement those steering and goal-seeking mechanisms. It's not hard from a cybernetic point of view to identify some of those basic aspects of brains, and certainly Lorente and McCulloch and many of the other cybernetic neuroscientists had these structures in mind when they were thinking of their cybernetic theories. Today, this view is not so much in evidence, but it's an important component and should be an important component of a future resurgence of cybernetic thinking. I think of these things in terms of, I made a taxonomy of adaptive and self-modifying and self-constructing devices 25 years ago, in which the parts of the device, the sensors, the effectors, and the coordinating parts can be adaptively modified. And that is basically the essence of adaptive systems. I say all this because when we think about listening and music, there are more or less three different ways that we listen to sounds, in my mind. One is what I call an acting mode or an ecological mode, where we're trying to listen for objects in our environment. We're trying to get around our environment, hear predators or cars or other objects in the environment, identify where they're coming from, identify what they are. There's a speech mode where we're listening, as you are probably in right now, listening to the words that I say and trying to decode what the words are. So you're sort of listening past the sounds themselves to get the symbols that constitute the words. And then there's music mode or an aesthetic mode in which we listen to sounds not to tell us something about the environment, but to modulate our own internal state in one way or another. And this is a sort of self-regulatory function. So in this way, one can think about aesthetics as the preferences that we have, or informational preferences, what arrangements, forms, or qualities, or situations please us, and pass, as Paul Pongaro pointed out to me earlier today, had this idea of aesthetically potent environments that encourage that mode of interaction with the world. So in my mind, Science involves understanding or predicting the external world. Engineering involves changing it. The arts involve understanding and changing our internal worlds. So if engineering is about the external world and control and predictability in the external world, the arts involve self-understanding and the modulation of the internal world, you know, including evoking emotion, beauty, awe, wonder, making meaning, giving pleasure, stimulating thought, provoking action, surprising us, comforting us, challenging us, perplexing us. All the internal psychological processes that we use art for. So in this way of thinking, the arts involve purposive engineering of aesthetic experience, the fulfillment of these informational preferences that we have for certain arrangements of sounds or forms, visual forms, or tastes, or any of the other things that we experience. So in psychology, our sets of preferences, basically the goals that our system is seeking, embody our values implicitly, and they partially determine our personalities, how our brains are organized, what goals our brains are organized to try to fulfill. So, you know, if you're an intellectual, you're interested in ideas. If you're an athlete, you're interested in, you like to move, and you realize yourself through movement. If you're an expressive, emotional person, you do it through that modality. And there are many different modalities that we have for self-expression and self-realization. So novelty is one component of aesthetic preference. It's not the only component, obviously. And creativity begets novelty. And 25 years ago, my doctoral work was on the problem of emergence and biological cybernetics and how would you make devices that would increase their effective dimensionality in an open-ended way, that would come up with new functions, much in the way that we come up with new meanings or new concepts, seemingly in an open-ended way. I came up with a basic set of distinctions about creativity.